everybody. Welcome to Monday. Let's line the Bulldog Hour. Kevin Parry alongside. We'll take you to three, hand it off to our buddy Phil Benatti. His fine show behind the bench. Take it at 6 o'clock. Giants up shortly thereafter. I'll tell you all about the entirety of the schedule for both 1430 and 790 a little bit later, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his great business, Precision Civil Engineering, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape, architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500 or precisionemg.net. Also tell you about engineering yardage at that time as well, the great fundraiser it has for Fresno State. Paul with me today. We finally have reached, as you know by now out there, game week, so we look forward to it. The kickoff from Lawrence, Kansas at 3:30 our time or thereabouts on Saturday on Big Fox, one of the few games being played on Saturday. So we're going to talk about that in just a moment, update you on a few other things as well. But first, I want to acknowledge our sponsors beyond just Ed and his fine business, Precision Civil Engineering. I want to remind you about our buddies at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, proud sponsors of the Bulldog Bread Collective. Very important, the NIL monies for Fresno State, and it's great to have KFC aboard. And once again, if you can stop by right now, any of the local KFCs, you have got the $7 deal still in play. That means you can choose from crispy chicken, tasty tenders, or the classic famous bowl, each of those orders with a drink, sides, and even sweet pie poppers. Just $7. Also, you can top it all up with the new peaches and cream sweet lightning soda. So a terrific deal at the local KFCs. Also, the long-standing Tuesday deal is still going on right now, which is 8 pieces of KFC's dark meat fried chicken, original recipe, extra crispy either way. And also, there are the tenders there. So either way, 8 pieces, whether it's the chicken itself or the tenders, the drumsticks and thighs would be the dark meat pieces or the tenders, both 8 pieces for just $10 right now. That's that Tuesday deal. We urge you to stop by any day of the week. Grab what you can bucket-wise and tell them thanks for being part of the Bulldog Bread Collective at Fresno State. It's much appreciated. Also, KFC sponsoring the fine F1 movie. F1, the movie, is the formal name of Brad Pitt's movie all about Formula One racing. Took them 3 years to put it together. It's a terrific endeavor, so check that out as well and stop by the KFCs if you can. Other reminders, our good friend Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, been a longtime booster at Fresno State, longtime sponsor of this show, celebrating his 25th anniversary in town. He's been a booster at Fresno State for over 3 decades. Again, anything you need in the way of pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, it's all there in-house, 4529 North Marty Avenue in town, Suite 103. Give them a call at 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE, or go to the web at superiorpipeusa.com, or Gabe, who works for Joe, has a direct email, gabe.sps@gmail.com. If you're working around a boiler service, if you're a plant delivery individual, if you're somebody who is a maintenance person around a plant, anything, anybody who works tanker delivery service, for instance, around valves, if one goes down, your business can go down in a very big hurry. So if you have any kind of issue at all, you contact Joe or Gabe, you stop by and see them, or give them a call and they'll come out to talk to you. Everything in-house there for you. It's family-friendly, and what they will do is keep you up and running if you're starting to have a valve issue before it becomes catastrophic. If you already have gone down because of it, they'll get you back up and running as quickly as possible. And again, if you can stop in and you have time after Joe tells you what he can do for your business, he will tell you what he does for Fresno State. The best way right now is to go to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. You'll find a donate link there at the top. Take you to different areas of donation. BulldogFoundation.org is there. Myers Champion Circle. Information for tickets and parking for all events on campus and other ways to give. You have the individual sports clubs, for instance, quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack Furtig with me every Wednesday to talk basketball on the board of directors, timeout club. Love to have more members. He said you can call him directly on his cell, 559-287 3305 or hit him up on his email, fertigjack@aol.com. Also links for other sports there, Dugout Club, for instance, for baseball, other men's and women's sports there as well under ways to give. And then the critically important NIL monies we talked about earlier, bulldogbread.com. Marcus McMarion took over. Chris started it, handed it off to Marcus, one Bulldog legend to another. Doing a great job with it right now. Any donation, big or small, any sponsorship idea, Marcus wants to hear from you, bulldogbread.com. Thanks to everybody at Joe Cruz's place, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, for allowing us the time to deliver that message. And we thank everything Joe does for the station and also for the Valley as a whole, and particularly Fresno State. And then finally, the reminder about the weather comes courtesy of another longtime sponsor. That's Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. They also bring you the Lee's Air Hotline. That's how Paul will come up in just a moment, 559-320-1430. Also how Phil will bring guests and general public calls in on his show, and particularly on Thursday, stop by and see Phil in person at Rod Evedekian's place, which is Fashion Furniture, celebrating another great anniversary. I'll tell you about that a little bit later on as well. As far as the forecast goes weather-wise, really nice right now. The breezes have been up over the weekend. We're at 94 today, which is terrific. Tomorrow, right around a seasonal average at 96. Then Wednesday, it starts to get iffy. 98 is fine. The lows, though, start to move into the 70s. And then 101 on Thursday. And then, in all candor, I hope, first of all, I'm glad it's on the road this weekend for Fresno State. And I hope that the weather of this weekend coming up is not the weather that we're going to see for fan comfort when Georgia Southern comes in on the 30th, because it's supposed to be 108 on Friday, this Friday coming up, 109 on Saturday, the lows up in the high 70s. That's always problematic because it means, of course, it doesn't cool off at night, and then a 105 on Sunday. So not great as we get toward the weekend, but pretty nice at the start of the weekend. We'll see what the 10-day brings us as we move through the week. I don't want to even bring it up right now because hopefully it's going to change. I think it's supposed to go back down again. It certainly better go down below 109 or 108. We'll see how far it falls for next week. But right now, enjoy the early part of this week, and then we'll figure it out as we get to the weekend. Anyway, thanks everybody at Lee's for allowing us the time again. Lee'sAir.com or 825-5337, 825-Lee's. All that having been said, we turn now to our good friend and Voice Your Bulldogs in long time, and I do mean long time, guest on this show. It's Paul Leffler. Paul, how you doing? Paul is somewhere back there. Paul,
how are we doing, Tony?
Oh, hey, Paul, you're on with Larry King. You know, Toronto. Larry King
West
has come back
Rockies.
From the dead. It's the new Larry King. Yeah, I got to tell you this, Paul. If you're up late, late at night, which I am, as you know, most of the time, not by choice, when you look at the menu, for instance, for DirecTV, and it's Larry King's prostate report, that's what's going on infomercial-wise. But there's not enough room on the menu to put that, and so all it says is Larry King's prostate. Now, Paul, if you see this on a guide, would that be a show you want to see, Larry King's prostate? I think you need a little bit more, don't you?
Wow. You've had some brilliant intros over the years, Tony. But
not that one.
That one's got to take the cake. I mean, I try to be prepared for what you're going to throw my way, and I don't know if there's I'm trying to think of what I can come back with.
No, you can't. You hope that the menu is big enough so the word report fits on there. Because, I mean, that's disquieting enough, but just a simple title, Larry King's prostate. I mean, I don't know what would that, that'll probably sound the same as Larry King, right? Hi, everybody! Larry's prostate! Toronto, you're on with Larry's prostate! You know, that kind of thing. All right, that's
wow.
Enough of that. Yeah, I know, 2:15 and we're already hitting the barrier reef. All right, Paul, let's get started here. Matt Entz had his presser today. Not a major surprise anywhere, but I did want to start with the running backs because you know, over the weekend, there was a game played in Vegas between the 49ers and the Raiders, and, you know, two things came out of it. Moody finally made some field goals, which was nice, but again, anybody can do it in practice or in preseason. But the biggest takeaway was Genty being what I think most of us knew he was going to be, which is a force, and he showed the 49ers that in a hurry. At 5'8", 208 pounds, all of it muscle, tremendous athlete, and he's going to be a great running back. And for Pete Carroll, it means he has found, if you want to call him, his new Marshawn Lynch and then some or whatever it is. He has found the guy now that he can basically build his offense around. I look at Fresno State, Paul, and we've talked about this. I know it's a fine stable of running backs, and it was named today 1 and 2, Donaldson and then Luke, not a surprise. But I think that Bryson is the guy who can be that fulcrum for Fresno State. Is that an overstatement in your opinion?
Well, let's see how the coaches handle it, because so far they've expressed a willingness to trust multiple guys
right.
with those reps,
right.
and I think for good reason. And the other piece of this is, you know, we're going to see two back sets. It's not going to all be, you know, one back. I think you have some versatility. Guys, especially like Brandon Ramirez and Elijah Gilliam, have the versatility to be a lead blocker but also carry the rock. And I think Brandon's a guy that you're going to see on the field this year, and Bulldog fans are going to love the way he plays and his physicality. And, you know, Donaldson, we got that taste of last year. He's in better shape now. He's more explosive. I would not sleep on Jonathan Arsenault. He may be the best combination of power and speed that they have. But if you want to just talk speed, Speedy is the guy. And I don't know that we've had a home run threat like Speedy Luke in a Bulldog backfield in a long time. And, you know, they're going to find ways to get him the football, whether it's on handoffs or throwing him the ball or in the return game. If he touches the ball 10 or 12 times a game, there's going to be at least 10 or 12 moments where you're on the edge of your seat thinking he's going to take it all the way, because he's that explosive, that dynamic, and he's a lot stronger than I think people realize. So there's some real potency in that backfield group. And, you know, we've seen some teams in this league do it that way. Look at UNLV the last couple of years, right? That go-go offense was about, you know, you don't know which one of these guys back there is getting the ball because they all can hurt you. And I think Fresno State's going to have an element of that pick-your-poison in the backfield this year. And if they all stay healthy, you could see some real prolific numbers in the run game.
Well, I know this, Paul. If they can spread the wealth enough that everybody is strong, not only for the entirety of the season, but every game, then that's going to be great. It just depends, I guess, if we see a separation in productivity going forward. The other thing is, we now know what we're going to see, at least as far as the starting lineup on that offensive line is concerned. And you and I have had the conversation, Jackson, I've certainly talked about it for years. Everything seems to rest upon that offensive line. Paul, are we right back there again this year? As that line goes, so goes the Fresno State team, or is that an overstatement?
No, that's where games are going to be won, in the trenches. And, you know, that's where I was just talking about this downtown. Coach Entz was gracious enough to speak at Fresno Rotary Club of Fresno today, and they asked me to come and kind of facilitate that with some Q&A. But we were talking about how when he came in, he said, you know, he wanted to be the most physical team in the country, and to do that, nutrition and weight training were going to have to be priorities. And a lot of coaches say that, but not every coach backs that up. And it's reflected. If you look at the bodies that the Bulldogs have from the spring to the fall, there's a marked difference. Now, you know, he was also asked, well, if you want to be a Big Ten style team, do your guys really look like it right now? And he said, no, you know, we're going to have to get longer over time. But if you look at this team right now, there's more depth on both lines, defensive and offense. There's more talent. And I think particularly on the offensive side of the ball, moving, you know, the most trusted lineman, Spomer, to the center position has had a domino effect. This coaching staff has also really gotten Roland Fullwood's attention. There's a guy, Fullwood, that if you ask any O-line coach here the last 4 or 5 years, I'll say he probably has the best pro potential with his frame but it's never really clicked where you saw that game execution out of him. This year, you know, he's in the best shape of his career, and he's ready to be a real leader. You know, McCarg and Ponua at those guard spots have some experience. McCarg is all fight. He's all nasty. He's all grit. And I think he sets a standard for that defensive line in terms of effort. And then, you know, at left tackle, when you have a true freshman in Braden Walton beating out an experienced veteran like Torian Penright for that starting nod, that said something. And now you have a guy like Penright with his starts and his experience in a backup role or a can fill in multiple positions role. That's a real upgrade to that spot. So I think there's wins all the way around that offensive line. Having a true freshman start at left tackle is something nobody at Fresno State can remember, at least in recorded history. And that says how special young Mr. Walton is. And he'll have that opportunity at Kansas on Saturday night. So can they establish that run game? I think they're going to have a real good chance, especially with the group of tight ends and the way they're going to be deployed. You know, you'll see multiple packages where you have two tight ends, some where there might even be three. And all the receivers know that they need to block. And you've got some guys like Josiah Aon, who takes real pride in the blocking element of the receiver game. And a guy like Jordan Brown, who's going to start in the slot, who will do absolutely anything to, you know, keep a drive going or make his team successful. He, you know, for a guy who has had the ball thrown in his direction as little as JB has in his career, he's had about as big of an impact from a team standpoint, standard-setting standpoint, a leadership standpoint, as anybody in that category that I can remember.
Paul, we have talked over and over again, you and I, on and off the air, Jackson as well, and Panish will be back with me in another week or so, about the situation of the narrow margin between defeat and victory. And Fresno State has walked that line, particularly in games against power conference teams. Last year, again, 6-7 could easily have been 8-3. You had four games turn at the end. You can certainly make the argument that you should not, for instance, the Hawaii game, it was a blown call by the official, but you can say the Bulldogs should never have been in that position to begin with, and that's fair, I think, to say, objectively speaking. But when you look at this team, do you have the impression that this is going to be one of those clubs that, A, they're going to try to keep it close, that's the whole idea, but in succeeding in that regard, that they will be able to be the team that makes the big play at the end, or more importantly, doesn't make the big mistake? Is this to be determined, or do you have a vibe that this club is going to be one of those haves, not have-nots, in the last 3 or 4 minutes of the game, which was a critical problem last year?
It was. And in defense of that coaching staff and that team, there were some critical calls that changed the final minutes of a game, and I think particularly in the Hawaii game, which changed the whole season. And I think every Bulldog fan probably feels those what-ifs. If even just one of those questionable calls isn't made and Fresno State wins that game, the whole timeline we're on right now looks a lot different right now. But, you know, that's exactly what Coach Hans talked about today with the Rotary Club. I asked him right before he ran off to practice, and, of course, our friend Jim Winton had to serenade him with the Bulldog Spirit song on his way out. But I asked him, I said, if there's one box you want to be able to check on Saturday to have the best chance of winning, he articulated as not beating themselves, right? If they're the team that in those critical moments when the game is on the line, and that boils down to third down throughout the games, throughout the game on both sides of the ball, that also comes down to, you know, as Pat Hill always reminds us, punting from your own territory. You know, can you flip the field or not? How does the field position game affect it? There's all those little moments that go into it. But I do think that the operational personality of this team is going to be one that produces lots of close games. So if you're in the game, if your defense plays well enough, if you can slow down the opponent's run game and you can establish your own run game, you're going to be within striking distance in the fourth quarter. And then it just comes down to making game-changing plays. And the unfortunate reality is last year, this is not a knock on Mikey Keene, But if you evaluate the quarterback play in those critical situations that made the difference between wins and losses, it wasn't what it needed to be. And you can just, I think you could separate that one factor. If he even performed in those situations last year the way he had the year before, you might have a 10-win team last year. There's no exaggeration there. So who is E.J. Warner going to be, right? He's the most experienced quarterback in college football. Is that going to show itself on the field on Saturday? Does he take care of the ball? Does he make good decisions under pressure? Does he recognize, you know, before the snap something that could happen, and he finds a way to make sure it doesn't happen? There's a lot that goes into it. And when you have a new staff and half the roster, new players, it's tough to be at your sharpest right out of the gate. But I've been, really been impressed, and that's another factor that Coach Entz articulated today in the news conference, is the cohesion of this team. And I think that says something. It says you have from head coach to assistant coach to support staff to players, you have a unity that is kind of hard to achieve, and even harder to achieve in 2025 than it would have been 5, 10, especially 20, 30 years ago. So hats off. It's a reflection of good leadership that this team is clicking the way it is, that you have so many people moving in the same direction at the same pace.
We know that the stated goal, and, you know, you just reflected it a moment ago, Paul, very accurately, and we've certainly talked about it ever since Matt got the job, knowing what his M.O. was in previous stops, with great success, of course, and that is you want to dominate the line of scrimmage. You want to impose your will. You want to shorten the game. You want to force the other team to make mistakes. You're playing a Kansas team who's got a quarterback that can be a little mercurial, and that's good news for Fresno State, because it's someone who can at times be his own worst enemy. And if you're on the field against someone like that and keep the game close, you can execute and he can't, you win. But the flip side of this is what, and maybe this was the smokescreen, Josh Davis saying, you know what, all that about running is true, but we are prepared to take what the defense gives us. And Paul, once again, you have a talented group of wide receivers. The tight end position, I've kidded Jackson about this over and over again, the old Stanford Steve line, who's always open, the tight end. Of course, Steve was a tight end at Stanford. But, Paul, I have it in the back of my mind that Fresno State, as much as they want to run the ball, if the defense loads it up in the box, Fresno State is not just going to run its head against the wall for S's and giggles. I think they're going to take what's there. And if it means that maybe the running stats on a given game aren't what you expect, as long as the scoreboard shows more on Fresno State's side than the other, everything is fine. You know what I'm getting at. Some coaches want to say, come hell or high water, I'm going to play it my way. I get the feeling there's some flexibility there offensively. Am I right about that?
Not only is there flexibility, there's creativity. And that's, you know, one of the things, you think back to recent history of Fresno State, right? When Jeff Tedford took the job, a lot of people assumed, you know, his offensive coordinator is going to be someone he's worked with before, who he trusts, who can run his system. And he took an opposite approach. He said, I'm going to look around the country and see who's been overachieving, who's made something out of nothing, who's found a way, despite disadvantages, to create an advantage. And Kalen DeBoer jumped off the page at him, and he brought Kalen in, and we see what kind of results there were. And similarly for Coach Entz, you know, he's been taking notes along the way. And when he had gone up against Josh Davis as an offensive coordinator, both at South Dakota State and South Dakota, you know, it gave him fits, because there's an unpredictability. There's misdirection. There's, you know, confusion. It's going to be fun to watch this offense if the Bulldogs are able to execute, right? And that means everybody knowing what the play is, knowing which way you're supposed to go, and going that way. And if they are going to go as deep at multiple positions as they've indicated that they are, then that's an even further test to that, right? I mean, a lot of times your first stringers can execute, but you get a couple subs in at some key spots, and all of a sudden you see those little hiccups that can change a game. But I think, from what I'm seeing, this offense has a real good handle on the philosophy, on the way they want to attack defenses. And I think it's going to be hard. You know, what you don't want to be, it's just the point of your question, is one-dimensional and predictable. And while there's no question they're going to lead with the run and need to establish that run game, it doesn't mean they can't throw the ball. And, you know, I think also because of the depth they have at the quarterback position and how even that competition was throughout fall camp, I also would guess, this is maybe a too early of a leap because you want them all to have success, but I would guess that if Warner runs into any stretches where he's not really productive, that they won't be too hesitant to give guys like Conklin or Mandel a shot. I mean, we could even see those guys see the field on Saturday in some kind of role. And I think that's the one thing this coaching staff, you know, Coach Entz alluded to it again today at Rotary, that earlier in camp, they were having their players do double reps, in essence, splitting the coaching staff in half and having two fields going at the same time. So no one was just standing around. Everyone was participating. And, you know, that when you think about it, in this age of the transfer portal and the priority of retaining players that you want to keep, having everybody engaged, giving more guys a chance to play, if you can do that and not have a drop-off, all of a sudden it's an advantage, right? That's the question. Is your depth enough that when you substitute, there's consistency and you have no drop-off? If so, you've got a real edge there. Otherwise, playing more guys can become a disadvantage because of that drop-off. And I think they really believe that they're building that kind of depth where you can rotate the D-line completely, where you can put in a couple subs on the O-line, where you can play 3, 4, 5 running backs a game. You can go just that deep at the tight end position. You can, you know, sneak wide receivers in and out, and on the defensive side of the ball similarly, and still have the same kind of results. And if that's what it turns out to be, I think we're looking at a very satisfying season for the Red Wings.
We know that the strength of the defense going in, as you look at it, is going to be that secondary. It is a very, very good secondary straight through from the corners and your safeties. Paul, the question mark, we talk about the line, and we're going to see this. You know, we talk about offensively what you need to do. We know that the line itself at times has been overwhelmed defensively. I mean, the Michigan game is a great example. The Bulldogs were right there in that game at the start of last season. It seems like it was 6 years ago, but it was last season. And right before the INT, you had a real look. And then to Michigan's credit, they were able to just take the ball and go right down the field. And I don't know if that was a case of the Bulldogs just getting worn down or whether Michigan decided, okay, enough is enough. But when you look at this team right now and you look at the strength in the secondary, what can that secondary enable you to do with your linebackers to help out that front four? How do you view that secondary? Can you put everybody on an island out there, particularly your corners, and say, you know what, we can walk safeties up, we can take chances with linebackers because we have lockdown corners? I mean, is that your view of this?
I think there will be stretches where those kind of gambles are absolutely taken. And, you know, Nick Benedetto has a pretty good track record. He was the only coordinator in the country last year, coaching at the time at Northern Illinois, that didn't allow a single opponent to surpass 400 yards. And that includes Fresno State, I mean, limited in the ballgame. He's creative, right? He has some unique ways of applying pressure to make it difficult for the opposing quarterback to know where it's coming from. I think there's going to be a lot of disguise and misdirection and confusion coming from that defense. And there's a lot of versatility on that defensive side of the ball. Take a guy like R.L. Miller, right? Last year, he's really a linebacker, but his athleticism allowed him to play a little nickel. Now they've moved him to safety, but he's an unreal athlete with ridiculous length. And he's not even listed as a starter, but you're going to see him, I think, heavily involved in that secondary. You know, Jaden Davis, local kid, has grown. He's taller, he's longer, he's stronger, he's supremely confident. You get Cam Braca back. I mean, there's another factor last year. We talked about all the little things that changed last season. If Cam Braca doesn't get hurt going into that UNLV game, I don't think that game goes as lopsided as it did. He would have made a huge difference the following week against Air Force in that triple option. But they didn't have him the rest of the year. You know, the silver lining is they have him back for this year. and he's focused, and he's, you know, better than ever. You've already talked about the corners. They brought in a transfer from Northern Illinois, Ethan Tierney, who's in that secondary as well and is going to see some time at safety, playmaker. You know, you look at Simeon Harris, Keontre Harris, Loyal Muzon. I mean, the list just keeps going on and on. Guys who are ready to show what they can do. And I absolutely expect that defense to produce some takeaways and hopefully be able to stop the run. I think that's the other upgrade. If you look at them from a beef perspective in the front four, just, you know, Martin Owusu alone, if you watch him move, he screams run stuffer, right? And he's had some of that effect. You brought in some extra pass rushing ability and guys like Finn Claypool. Then you have guys who've been in the program who have taken the opportunity of a coaching change and say, hey, I've got a clean slate. I've got a new set of coaches that, you know, are forming a fresh impression of me, and I'm going to make the best impression. And I don't know if there's anybody in that defensive line group who has improved more, changed his body more, and become more confident than Sonny Zephyra. And I think you're going to see number 24 on that D-line. Corey Foreman's in the best shape of his life, and we know what kind of talent he is. So I think there are a lot of things you can point to and say, hey, there's the potential for real improvement. But the flip side is potential means that it hasn't come together yet. And this will be the first opportunity Saturday to make an opening statement. So I'm looking forward to it. I think this defense could be really good and have some real swagger and make the quarterback's job a lot easier.
You and I were talking last week or the week prior, Paul, about the way this schedule kind of divides up, and we were talking in relation to Tedford's first year as head coach here, 2017, where, you know, you had the Derek Carr retirement of the jersey, and you had the walkover, speaking of Asana, the day against Incarnate Word. Maybe it's going to be reminiscent of that this weekend. Luckily, as I said, coming up, the team is on the road. But after that, you had that incredibly daunting challenge of going to both Tuscaloosa and to Seattle, and we had said at the time anybody in the country, including those two teams from the Final Four, would have had a battle in that type of situation. But then you had the break of a week, and then you had conference start, and you were able to move Marcus McMurrian in as Chasen Virgil was moved aside. And you had a second start, essentially, to the season, even though you had a couple of losses, and you were great the rest of the way. I'd asked you a couple of weeks ago, I'll ask you again. The way this season scopes out, these first three games, you could, and this is no kidding, win all three. You can go to Kansas and win. Scenario you talked about, if the Bulldogs stop the run and are able to dominate the clock, you might have a more mistake-prone Kansas team out there. You can win this game. You come home and play Georgia Southern. It's a really good team. Our buddy Patrick had said, you know, hey, looking at the film, they are really, really tough. You could lose that one, yet you could go to Corvallis and you could beat Oregon State. So, Paul, when you throw these three together, do you almost make it a separate part of the season, or do these three really magnify what you expect to see later on? Is it possible to have a handle on it? Because you're starting tough early on with winnable games, but they are games that you're not allowed a breath the way you'd like to see for a new coaching staff. Is that fair to say?
Well, I don't think anyone's allowed a breath in college football anymore. Right?
No, but you know what I mean. You're not going into a game that everybody's saying, you know, you had better win this game. Now, maybe that's good news. But I'm just saying that you're not opening up with compass point A and T, is what I'm saying, in any of the three games to start this thing.
Yeah, and that keeps your team focused and sharp. And, you know, let's not forget the power of momentum. Coach Ant's, one of the things his players hear over and over again is keep stacking days. You know, no day is perfect, but they build on each other. And what you invest today hopefully is going to have dividends for tomorrow. And so where you start tomorrow is a little ahead of where you were today. And you know, you and I have been talking for decades here, Tony, about the power of momentum within games, across seasons. And if you go and have a great showing in Lawrence, win the game or come close, you're feeling a whole lot better, a whole lot more confident, probably a whole lot more focused against Georgia Southern. and you're less prone to losing on your home field. If you go to Kansas and turn the ball over five times and lose by three touchdowns, all of a sudden, it's just human nature to go into that Georgia Southern game pressing a little bit, feeling like you have to prove something, and maybe not being at your best. So I think the result week one affects the result week two, or at least the potential, the probability for week two. But I expect to see this team get off to a good start. There is a great cohesion. I think the biggest X factor is quarterback play, right? What is E.J. Warner going to see? How does he respond to it? A few audibles in this game could be the difference between a win or a loss. Special teams play could be the difference between a win or a loss. Ball security, a lot of things that are going to factor in. But I think this team has the potential to have a defense that keeps the Dogs in close games. And an offense that, it's not going to be Jake Haener winging it 50 times a game. It's not supposed to be. But if E.J. Warner can execute play-action pass, safe, passes to the perimeter, quick hitters, the occasional deeper ball, but really just be a really good decision maker and take what the defense has given him, I think this offense is designed to be efficient and effective, to chew up clock, and then it just comes down to those critical third down situations. And that's, so much of it's going to be that for this team anyway. On both sides of the ball, can you get off the field defensively on third down? And on the other side, can you extend a drive when you've got that third and five, third and six, third and eight? Can you move the chains? And I think some of the additions that have come in the offseason could help in that regard. And maybe the position group that I've seen the most change in throughout fall camp is the receivers. I think going into fall camp, there's a lot of concern there. The most proven guy you have is Josiah Freeman, but he's been injury prone, and he's had one quasi big game, but nothing consistently. And boy, he looks like an NFL receiver, Tony. And with the attention he's going to get, openings for other guys are going to crop up. And Harold Duvall is a guy who's going to blossom early. He doesn't have to wait a year. I mean, a true freshman, he's ready to play now, and he's going to make some plays. Dreon Farrar is another guy. I think Bulldog fans are going to see some big things from. We keep going down the list. I already mentioned the leadership of Jordan Brown. But I think that receiving group is not only a lot better than it was in the spring, and there have been some personnel changes since then, but that receiving group, I think, has given the coaches a lot more confidence going into this opener than when they opened fall camp. And as I say that, we better tip the cap a little bit to a former Bulldog wideout in Delvon Hardaway, who's coaching that group now.
Right, no doubt about it. A guy, as you and I talked over and over again, that because of injury never got the full chance to show his tremendous ability. Talk about someone we saw in flashes, right? And then every time something would happen physically, and he has done a terrific job as a coach, and has, I think you'd agree, a great, great future as a coach for the long term in the college game. Paul, the last thing for you, and of course you and I will talk Monday after the game, getting ready for the home opener against Georgia Southern. This team right now, I brought this up in regard to the Lakers. So the Lakers win in L.A., it's great, but they also have the subtext of, we really want to see Showtime basketball. They want to win, but they want to win the way Magic and Worthy and Michael Cooper and Kareem and those guys did it above the rim. That's what they want, because L.A. is an entertainment-based proposition. So winning is a necessary but sometimes not sufficient condition. Here, with the Midwestern mentality, I've said it and I mean it, I don't think people are bothered at all with a 13-10 win. I don't think you need to score in Fresno, California, 38 or 40 or 45. People love to see it, but it's not a prerequisite. As long as you've got more than the other guys, everybody's going to be happy here. And so I think we've seen it in the past when Pat was here. If you're running it and winning, as long as you're winning, everything's fine. Is that your point of view as well?
Yeah, that's the idea, right? That's what you sign up for. And
well, you would
think
so in this day and age, yes, you know, given everything going on in college football. There's no doubt. I think you're signing up for winning, that's for sure. Style points, I guess I'm saying be damned, Paul. That would be my feeling right now.
Well, and especially as a new coach. You know, in Pat's case, he became a victim of his own success. You know, you beat one Power 4 team who's got a budget that's five times as big as yours. And, you know, Triangle Burger takes out McDonald's one week, and they expect it to happen every week.
Right.
That's what that was. I think people, I don't know if everyone will really grasp how significant some of those victories were. It really was David beating Goliath from a resource standpoint and sometimes a personnel standpoint. And, you know, winning, he didn't care about his own stats or his own winning percentage. He cared about changing Fresno State football and changing the community, and he did. And he had the courage, right? I think that I was just having this conversation at downtown Rotary today with some invested Bulldog fans. You know, some in today's world, it's more rare than it used to be to find a leader who has the courage to be different. And Pat had that courage. And I think Coach Entz has some of that courage, right? He believes in this brand of football. He believes it's going to be successful. And if it is, I think people are going to fall in love. And now, you know, if you come close to the perfect season every year, if you beat some of the big boys, but you don't have the ultimate goal achieved, you know, some people are going to be disenchanted. And that's what ended up happening with Pat. And I think there's a lot of what ifs you could take, right? If you had alignment, perfect alignment at every level of the administration, could things have been different? Could Fresno State be in a power conference right now? I absolutely believe that with all my heart, because Pat saw that stuff coming before anybody else did. And, he, you know, we saw what TCU and Utah did. If some of the ideas Pat had had actually been implemented, that might have been Fresno State. We can't change any of that now, but what we can do is say, okay, let's see the big picture. Let's take stock of what's really happening. And I'll tell you, there hasn't been a game played yet, Tony. But as I shared with those folks downtown tonight, I had to try to pat Coach Entz on the back a couple times because he wouldn't do it himself. But this guy came in saying, you know, need to invest in nutrition and hit the weight room and get bigger. And every coach says that, but this team has actually done that. There's a distinct difference. And, you know, several other things that he's emphasized that the team is responding to. It's made it a real family atmosphere in a lot of ways, in multi-pronged ways, that they feel like a family, they look like a family, they're prioritizing family. All those things are good, but ultimately, if it doesn't lead to that success on the field, the opportunity doesn't last forever. And I see a guy who's ready to seize that moment in the first game, and if it doesn't go as planned, learn from it. So, you know, he's had some great success, but he also has this humility to know he can't do it himself and he needs everybody all in to get it done. And it looks like that bandwagon is starting to build a little bit, and it'll fill up a lot more if they pull it off on Saturday.
Well, I just look forward to it because it's been a long, long dry spell from the end of last year, the frustration until now. And it's great to have something to talk about tangibly as we get through Saturday. Paul, have a great and safe trip and a very successful weekend, and you and I will reconvene next Monday, and I'll certainly talk to you off-air between now and then. Take care, my friend.
I'm not talking to you out there anymore, Tony.
Okay, we're married. Okay, I didn't realize that. Okay, you're not speaking to me anymore. I didn't know. I thought that was unique. All right, take care, my son. Keep that extra bunk ready, okay? That's all I'm telling you. I'll talk to you later. I'll see you later.
It's ready for you, Tony. Anytime.
Thank you, Paul. I can fish at the same time. I'll talk to you later. I'll see you.
Adios.
All right, guys. Our great friend, Paul Leffler. We'll take a break, come back, tell you about the schedule, and hand it off to Phil. And then I've got some apologies to take care of off air. I would take a break for maybe the last time. The Bulldog Hour continues on this Monday on Central Valley Sports Leader 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back. Just about 2:54, a few minutes ago on the show, handed off to Phil's great show Behind the Bench. Take you to 6 o'clock. Giants come up after that. Tell you about the schedule right now, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his great business, Precision Civil Engineering. Planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape, architecture, construction management, all they're under one roof. More information, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net on the web. Again, engineering yardage, front and center once again. Last year, one more time for every yard gained through the air. It's Fine Business gave the Lyles College Veterinary at Fresno State donation per yard gained through the air at home, and then presented a check at the end of the football season. It's a great fundraiser. The goal to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It works beautifully for Ed's business, and I hope more get involved with the creative way you can benefit both your business and Fresno State and the community as a whole. And we thank him for everything he does for the station and for Fresno State. As far as the lineup goes, Phil, 3 to 6, Monday through Friday, including Thursdays at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Rada Vadikian. They're celebrating another great anniversary there. Best furniture on the planet, nothing like it in all of California. You hear the motto all the time. And stop on in El Paso across a river park. Check out the great furniture, the great conversation of Phil's show, some good eats as well. And again, you can reach Phil on the Lee's Air hotline, which is 559-320-1430. We're with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, tdad1 at att.net, tdad, the number 1 at att.net. Paul Metter's back with his fine show. Central Valley Sports Report came back August 9 after the summertime hiatus, all about sports throughout the valley. Check that out Saturday mornings, 10 a.m. to noon on 1430 from First String Sports. Everything for the station, 1430 ESPN, Fresno.com. You find the live links and podcasts there. As far as the lineup goes, the Giants in San Diego now for four, and the Giants have got to start winning. And I don't know, they finally broke this terrible losing streak where they lost, what was it, 12 or 13 or 13 out of 4. I lost count how bad it was at home. They finally won yesterday. They're 5 back in the wild card in the final slot and a number of teams to climb over. It's really going to be tough. This bad stretch probably took them out, and this is as tough a road trip as they're going to have, because you're in San Diego where the Padres were white hot and then they were swept by the Dodgers, so they've fallen back by a couple of games but are solidly in the wild card. And oh, by the way, after that you go to Milwaukee where the Brewers are on fire. Even though they lost in Cincinnati yesterday, they've already won the first of two in Chicago today. Got a makeup doubleheader. They've got a 5-game series with the Cubs, and nobody's playing better than the Brewers. And that's the Giants road trip, San Diego and Milwaukee. So it'll get started in San Diego tonight. Ray will be on the mound for the Giants, 6:10 with a 6:40 first pitch. The A's are traveling. They'll be in Minneapolis to play the Twins tomorrow at 4:40. So we'll touch upon that tomorrow. Also remind you, of course, Fresno State coming up on Big Fox on Channel 26, 3:30 on Saturday. Jackson with me tomorrow. Brian Panish will return on air with us next week. So a lot to talk about with Fresno State coming up. The other reminders, of course, football-wise, we'll have 49er, Ram, and Raider games for you and everything from Westwood One. We still have everything through ESPN Radio through the World Series, no matter what happens with the A's or the Giants. And, of course, we have the Super Bowl and everything. Even if some of our teams are not involved in the playoffs, everything will be there through Westwood One. And the Lakers coming up as we start things in October with the NBA, and we'll have everything through the finals with ESPN Radio. High school gets started. Phil have a broadcast for you. Central East hosting Inglewood on Friday. Phil tell you more about that, so it's great to have high school games back as well. And then the final reminders here, we want to thank again everybody involved at the KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman for being part of the Bulldog Bread Collective. One more time, stop by, check out the great Phillips deal right now where you can get for $7 crispy chicken, tasty tenders, or the classic famous bowl, each with drink, sides, and sweet pie poppers. That's just $7. Plus, you can top it off with the peaches and cream sweet lightning soda. Also, Tuesday, you still have the 8-piece deal for $10, whether you're looking at 8 pieces of KFC's dark meat chicken or the original recipe tenders. Stop by, tell them thanks for being part of the Bulldog Bread Collective. And finally, along those lines, make sure you get a hold of Marcus McMarion. Any donation, big or small, any sponsorship idea, bulldogbread.com. Thanks to the KFCs in town. Thanks to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, Joe Crew, Superior Pipe Stainless Supply, and everybody at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Thanks, as always, to Jorge for his great job, and Paul Lepler for his time, as always. And, yes, I will talk to him off-air, whether he likes it or not. I'll see you guys with Jackson tomorrow on KFIG Fresno.